When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, he said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and 'The time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against a nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues. And there will be a dreadful portent of great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Because of our celebrations of Reformation and All Saints Sunday, we veered a little away from the path that we were on in October, moving through Luke's version of Jesus' ministry. But now we're back, right as we end this season of Pentecost and before we start the new year, which starts the first of Advent. We're back. Jesus and his disciples, they have made it to Jerusalem, and they are standing in the great temple, a massive structure. Everyone imagined it would hold strong forever. And all who saw it were just like the disciples. They would ooh, and they would ah, wow, such big stones. Look at these beautiful tapestries. Look at the gifts that were brought to God. It was a place that was intended to be a place worthy of God, and a place worthy of those who were worshiping God, a place for them to come to and find God present. The idea that it would be destroyed just seemed impossible. It was substantial. It was dedicated to God. Yet, Jesus is proclaiming that it will be destroyed. It's interesting, though, that the disciples were mostly curious about when the destruction would happen. They weren't so surprised that it would, I guess because they trusted Jesus and really accepted at that point that, you know, his ministry and what he was there for. But they said, "When, Jesus, when is this going to happen? How will we know?" Jesus shares with them that there are some really difficult times coming. He doesn't focus on the when. He doesn't focus on trying to predict. He focuses on how we need to go forward regardless. He tells them there's going to be natural disasters and persecutions and wars. He lets them know that their life is not going to be easy. And it wasn't. And we know this because we have the stories in the second part of Luke, which is Acts. And we also know just from history that exists from that early part of history. Christians had a tough road. We are still living in uncertain times, and we are still going through tough roads. There's continued political polarization that we've witnessed very acutely in the last 4 to 6 weeks. There's continued racial tensions in places throughout this country. There's ongoing destruction of this planet and its atmosphere. There are tornadoes, there's hurricanes, there's floodings, there's droughts, there's wars. All of those things that Jesus pointed out would happen in what we tend to call the in-between times. We are still living in in-between times. Some of us in this space, and many of our neighbors, are also living in uncertain personal times. Things that seemed indestructible, or at least durable, are crumbling. Families are separating. The ability for some to find work is leading to financial ruin. Health issues are starting to take away certain abilities and freedoms. Futures that we may have pictured have changed without warning. And as we deal with all of this that is happening, it might be easy to say and ask, so how much longer, Lord? Right? That's kind of what the disciples were asking, how much longer, Lord? And Jesus' answer is that we need endurance. We need to keep going. We need to keep witnessing. But the joy in all of this is that we're not being asked to endure all of this alone. We're not asked to be in the in-between times alone. Not with the global calamities and not with our own personal tribulations. In all of these things, God is beside us, remaining faithful. And that is the message that we are supposed to be telling. That is our testimony, right? We are told in this passage that these opportunities are times to testify, to show the world that we have a faithful God who remains by our side. Now, testifying doesn't necessarily mean getting up in front of people, getting up in this pulpit and preaching. But it does mean that we remember God's love for all, for ourselves, for our neighbors, and that we share this in any ways possible. You know, from buying turkey basket fixings, to smiling at a stranger in the grocery store, to praying for the many people who are in need of prayer, to handing a lonely and cold homeless man a quilt. And yes, also, in sharing with others what faith in Christ means to you. Being a disciple means that in the midst, even in difficult times, times when maybe our hope and our confidence is shaken, we still cling to God, trusting that God is with us. And then we share that truth with others. Even in the midst of turmoil, we can remember those words that we read just a few minutes ago from Psalm 98. Sing a new song to the Lord, who has done marvelous things, whose right hand and holy arm have won the victory. You remember your steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. We go forward with that in our hearts and on our tongues. In the gospel lesson, Jesus is, in a sense, warning the disciples about the troubles that they are going to face. But he is also helping them to focus on what is really important, what is truly permanent, and it's not the temple. It is the faithfulness of God. And to see that what we think of in this world as being permanent or important often really isn't so much. It's certainly not permanent. Luke writes, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." What things do we see? What things will we see? What are we going to be testifying about? Even when things look bleak, it is important to look a little closer, to look for the beauty and the kindness in unlikely places. I'm reminded of ice storms. They can be so incredibly devastating to a community, to power lines, to trees, to cars, to everything. Yet, in the first light of the morning, when you look out and everything is coated with ice and that new sun is shining off it, it is really beautiful. Fires. Fires consume and destroy whatever they burn. Yet, they are beautiful and mesmerizing. Even in destruction, there is beauty. What we decide to see is what we will see. And in the gospel lesson, we are being asked to see through the chaos of this world to a God that is present and powerful. Even when it may not seem like it, as we watch the numbers in our churches dwindle and the chaos of the outside expand. But this is why we have texts like this in the Bible, texts that can be really unsettling if we focus on the scary images and miss the gems of the gospel message within. I don't think that Jesus or any writers of the scripture ever intended for anybody to become fixated on the end times. In fact, in Jesus' answer to his disciple, he really doesn't answer their question about when. And of course, there are multiple passages, one that we'll talk about in Bible study and we'll hear in a couple weeks, where Jesus says, "No one knows the day or the hour." I also don't think that we're being asked, any of us, to go out and proclaim that the end is near, to be doomsday preachers. I believe that what we're really being asked to do is to go out and proclaim God's presence here and now. I do wonder if a significant part of the intention of this passage was for Jesus' disciples, for those living at the time that Luke wrote this gospel, for the saints through all the centuries, and for all of us right now. I wonder if the point isn't for us to recognize that our world and our troubles, to find hope that in all of recorded history, the situation has basically remained unchanged. The wars are still here. The famines are still here. But what also, and what most importantly, has remained unchanged is that God is still here and that God's faithfulness remains steadfast. As we leave this sanctuary and go out into a world where there is both outside turmoil and for some more personal upheaval, be assured that God is by your side. And in that assurance, share that knowledge for those that you encounter, because you don't know who needs to hear that message. Amen.